Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to yet again another fantastic indie creator interview. It's your Caper Sarah Cody, and we're keeping it geekly with our returning guest, Michael T. Gonzalez. We're here to break down Epic of Darkness, Issue 2, Adult Horror Anthology, and everything in between. Michael, it's been, last time we had you on was interviewed 19. This is interview, 354? So how the heck have you been, man? It's been quite some time.
Yeah, it's good to see you again. Long time no see. Chugging along, you know, trying to do my thing, keep things going, and keep this train rolling.
So last time we had you on was for Gun Engine Zero Issue 1. Where does Epic of Darkness fall? I know we're on Issue 2 right now, but when did Issue 1 drop?
That was last September. I ran that campaign because I had already had a bunch of stuff, a bunch of artwork and stuff ready for it. And I was like, after Gun Engine Zero failed, I was just like, okay, this will be my last sort of attempt to get something done, since I already had a bunch of stuff ready for it. I was like, okay, I'll just do it and see. If it fails, then I'm done. But fortunately, it was successful. It funded. And so we're just keeping things going with number two now.
That is awesome. And congratulations on the success of the second one. I mean, it's kind of like, it's just a kick in the gut when something doesn't work out that you really want to. Like, what do you think you did differently with this second Kickstarter, you know, that maybe you didn't do with the first one?
To be honest with you, I'm not sure. This is a big problem with like crowdfunding and, mm-hmm. you know, like indie comics and things. Like, I don't really know what is connecting with people and what's not. I kind of just have to guess and just, you know, do whatever I think is right or what I think is good and interesting, put that out there, and then just hope that people respond to it. I don't know. It was, I thought Gun Engine Zero was a good concept. You know, I had a lot of artwork to show people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the one thing was that one obvious thing was that for Gun Engine Zero, I needed a lot more funds to be able to make the book. I only had like six pages of artwork. So I needed at least like, you know, around like $4,000 to be able to make that book. For Epic of Darkness, I wasn't really trying to make all of the funds to get the book done because most of it was already done. Mm-hmm. I was just trying to get enough to do a print run. So my goal was a lot lower. But even still, the Epic of Darkness number one campaign, I ended up, you know, with the most funds I've ever gotten, the most backers I've ever gotten. So
congratulations. That's awesome. Yeah.
Thank you. So hopefully I'm just trying to keep building on this, and then maybe we'll go back to trying that Gun Engine Zero again once I have more backers and everything, you know, the more people that know about it.
We were talking a little bit backstage too. You're coming a little bit harder this time around with the merchandise as well. You got a new shirt. You were showing me a new resin bust as well. Let's go ahead and show some of that off if you don't mind.
Sure. Yeah. So this is the shirt. This is the first campaign we didn't have this shirt. I'm going the wrong way. I don't know where it's going. this is the tattoo that's on the character's chest. Mm-hmm. So we have this one, and it's like a soft style t-shirt. So it's real breathable and soft. For it's good for like summer. It's coming up. The other main thing we have is this 3D resin mini bust. They're printing. I don't know if this is going to focus.
Okay. There we go. Let's get a little bit more clear.
All right. Well, you can see it on the campaign. It's like better mm-hmm. pictures of it. But yeah, so this would be the first time that I offered something, anything like this. Never done anything like this before. And I'm actually painting it. I spent like the last 3 months trying to paint all these
different
versions. I've like even this one, I've like painted and stripped it down like five or six times. So that's why it's a little rough looking, but that's kind of like I finally figured out, you know, what I think is at least an acceptable quality for, and figured out like the color scheme and how to paint it, what brushes to use, all that kind of stuff.
Doing like the emblem on the chest was probably challenging too, right? Like making sure the colors came out just right.
Yeah, that was a big thing, because I don't know if I can show you like which one I have here. because originally what I was, I don't have the older one, but originally what I wanted to do is, I don't know if you can see it, but it's like a, it's a fluorescent paint.
Mm-hmm.
So it glows
in her
eyes.
Cool.
And her eyes too. Like I said, you can see a better picture on the actual campaign page. But yeah, so originally I was just going to, it was just going to be black, you know, like black ink for a tattoo. And I painted up a version of it, and I went on some Facebook groups, and I showed, you know, people that do painting and stuff like that. And I just get some people's feedback. And I also included a picture or an image of what she looks like in the comic book. And somebody suggested, hey, why don't you, you know, use fluorescent paint to make it like glow like she does in the book. And I was thinking, like, I don't know if that's going to be possible, because the way I was doing it is just laying down black primer,
mm-hmm.
and then just very gently brushing on the skin color over like three or four layers, so it doesn't seep into it, because this is actually cut into the surface of her body. So that's, that was the way I thought it was the best way to do it. So, but to do that, I had already like primed all of them black. So mm-hmm. then I had to go back and strip all of the paint on
them.
But it was it's really funny. I would just tell you this. Like what I did is put in, I got these little Wendy's cups, and I would put it in here, and I put the whatever it is, I can't now remember, the alcohol, whatever, that strips the,
yeah,
strips the,
yeah,
paint off. I had it like this. It was weird because the black primer stayed on, but all of the color for her skin just came off of her body like in one piece. It
almost looked like an actual horror scene, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it actually inspired what will be a future story in the third book of Epic of Darkness. Because I was looking,
that's
like,
awesome.
That is creepy as hell. I was like, that's weird.
I really like how you have the design etched in there too. I'm sure that saves so much like just stress and frustration trying to get it perfect.
Yeah. Well, that, I showed it to the guy I found a guy on Fiverr to do the sculpt, and I had just assumed that that's how you would do it, mm-hmm. to make the tattoo, is just like etch it into the skin so that later on when I paint it, you know, you'd do the base and then you'd go over it. But I've seen others where they actually put the tattoo, you know, for other figures and things that have tattoos on the skin and stuff, where they actually, it's raised up off of the skin. And so when they paint it, they, you know, you just lightly use your brush or whatever.
Oh, yeah. And then it
to
just
make the, yeah. So
see,
I don't know. This is just the way that he did it. And I was like, I thought that was really the only way you could do it. But, you know,
I'm mind blown by both concepts, because I would have probably been the one who would have not thought of either or, and would have tried to just do a hand like each one, and that would have just took me years. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty, yeah, smart, like when you see these shortcuts in action and how they actually work and stuff like that, like, you know, the process and making it faster.
Yeah. Yeah, it was it's something though that I've always wanted to do. I like painting models and stuff when I was a kid, you know, because my dad was in the Army, so I was an mm-hmm. Army brat. I used to go to the PX and buy like the little kits that had like the fighter jets and stuff like that for real cheap. And they're like $5 or whatever, you know, and get the little Tamiya paints and things mm-hmm. like that. And, you know, try to paint. So it's something like I've always been interested in. And I thought for this campaign, it might be something that was a unique thing, because I'm going to limit it to maybe like 10 for in the beginning, because I don't know how many I can really do of these. It takes a while to paint these. So, yeah, I want it to be some kind of like a special sort of unique thing for this campaign.
So what is Epic of Darkness about? I mean, we talked a little bit about it, but I mean, like that character looks badass. We have what, like, is that four guns on her back?
Yeah, these are four rifles that are on her back that she carries on her back. And it's supposed to emulate wings.
Okay.
Sort of like wings that don't have the feathers on them. That's because she is a fallen angel. That's her character.
Oh, I love it.
And so she kind of like, she's a fallen angel that kind of exists in like this future dystopia where mm-hmm. society has completely collapsed. So there's like a Mad Max vibe to it. There's also I don't know if you're ever familiar with like the Clint Eastwood movies, the Man with No Name kind of series, like
okay.
The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, all that kind of stuff. So there's a Western also sort of vibe to it. That's kind of what she is. She's just like roaming around, but she really hates humanity. That's the reason why she's a fallen angel. Mm-hmm. And so she's kind of like stuck in this situation where, you know, she wants to get back into heaven. She has to do good deeds, but she's surrounded by people that disgust her. So she's constantly, you know, there's this like tug of war between salvation and damnation, where it's like she kind of wants to do good, but she's tempted to do kind of bad things. So not necessarily bad things, but like they're the people that the remnants of humanity that are left are kind of like to her like disgusting. So she's kind of compelled to not always be nice to them. And so there's that kind of a play with it. And yeah, so this is kind of like a journey for the character. There's no real end in sight. It's an open concept where I just create the character in the world and then kind of explore all kinds of crazy things that could happen. And for me also as a writer, it's kind of a journey too, because I'm not really planning things out way ahead of time. You know, I plan things out like maybe one or two issues ahead. But I'm kind of discovering things along the way as I play with this character in this world. So it's been an interesting ride for this one.
So we have J. Michael Miller over on YouTube stopping in to say the line art looks so clean. And Mama Geekly saying, I'm going to love checking out this comic. I love badass woman. The illustrations are awesome. Yeah, this is gorgeous. So, I mean, how many stories per book are we looking at so far?
The first issue has six stories. It's 48 pages. And you can get a copy of the first issue. I overprinted, so don't worry about that. You can get a copy. And issue two has 36 pages. It's four stories. And so the basic concept is, or the format of the book is like 2000 AD. I don't know if you're familiar with that. It's like that's where Judge Dredd was introduced. And that's kind of like their main property. That's like their most famous one. So a lot of times they'll have stories with Judge Dredd. He's like the, you know, the main attraction of the book. And then they'll have some backup stories about random characters or things. And that's kind of what I want to do with this book, is that she is like the main attraction of the book, and her story is serialized through every single issue. So the first adventure with her is going to take place over the first four issues. And then there's another character who's named Grave, sort of like a Conan Viking sort of character, and a World of Warcraft kind of a setting. He's also has a serialized story. But along with those, we have self-contained, smaller stories, you know, mixed in with it. And yeah, so it's a lot of different things, like dark humor, dark fantasy, like the sci-fi dystopia kind of thing, zombies, you know, pretty much anything horror.
So what's it been like working with so many different artists throughout these books? I mean, because on Gun Engine Zero Issue 1, you just had the one artist you were working with, correct?
Yeah, I just had Ian Wariento and Anton Bandy, the line artist and the colorist. They've worked together a lot. So I just thought like their style was like, fit the concept perfectly. So, you know, that was real disappointing to me that one failed. But like I said before, I'm going to try to get back to that one. And I know Ian and Anton both want to work on it too. It's just hopefully we can get it done. But this time it's, you know, since it's anthology and there's so many different stories, there's a variety of stories, the variety of tones and all this kind of stuff. So I think it requires different artists, because, you know, different artists can bring, you know, their visual style brings a different tone and all that to the story. So like this one with this girl, this character here, she's more like a mainstream, you know, sort of art. So Brian Escura was the artist on issue 1 and 2, and you know, his art is, you know, it's like anything you would find in Marvel or DC. He's a top quality artist. And then the Grave story is a black and white with what did you call it, those gray tones. And Ricardo Alves did the artwork for that. And so I just try to find artists that, you know, their style matches whatever I'm trying to go for in the story. And So I just, you know, pick people, some people that I worked with before, some that are brand new, you know, whatever matches up with the story.
No, absolutely. I think right now would be a perfect segue. Let's go ahead and check out the campaign and get a better look at some of these interiors. For everyone that is watching, you can check this out with us. I'm going to be dropping the link right here in chat. Make sure to be able to pull this up. And if you can back, we would love to see that. But simply putting this on Facebook and Twitter, anywhere you can put a link, we would love to see that. Word of mouth is 100% free. And letting your friends and family know about this is just as important. So we're looking at Epic of Darkness Issue 2 Adult Horror Anthology. Currently at $541 of a $1,200 goal. With 20 backers and 24 days left to go. I mean, you're right almost at that halfway mark. 6 days into the campaign. How are you feeling about this one?
I would feel much better if it was, we were closer to that goal, that initial goal. I'm not gonna lie, but it's better than I've had before. So mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to sound like a pessimist or anything. So I'm happy with what I have, but I'm, you know, obviously I'd hope for some more. I hope for more people will check it out. And there's a lot of people that are watching it or following it that haven't backed it yet, mm-hmm. and I'm not sure why people do that. You know, maybe it's people are, they got to think about the money and the bills and all that kind of stuff, which is, you know, understandable considering the situation we're all in right now.
Yeah.
But the problem with that is that, like, when people wait and it doesn't hit its funding goal, then it kind of makes it look like it's not going to be successful. And mm-hmm. I think that turns away some people. They see that and they say, oh, this is just gonna fail. I don't want to jump in on this. I'm not gonna bother. So it's kind of like this self-fulfilling sort of thing where it's like, if people don't back it, then it won't get funded.
Yeah.
Because it makes it look like it's, you know, something that people don't want to get into. But so yeah, I would hope that people would, you know, come into it, jump on board, because it is done, it's complete. There's no chance of you not getting it, unless we don't fund. The book is done. Everything is done. And it's ready to go. As soon as I even send it to the printer before the campaign ends, if we fund. So to cut down on the waiting time, that's why I did it on the last campaign. I sent it in 2 weeks before I got the money from Kickstarter. Because, you know, after a campaign ends, then you got to wait for Kickstarter to actually, you know, transfer all the money to your bank account. It used to be 2 weeks, but I think they shortened it now to like 1 week. But I don't even wait for that. It's like if Kickstarter has the money, I'll just send it to the printer and get it printed so people don't have to wait so long. Because I'm, you know, real cognizant of that. I don't want people to wait. I just want people to get the book, you know, and have it so they don't have to wait for it.
I think it's awesome that you're so on top of it too. You know, there is often times where campaigns will go. I mean, there's campaigns that I backed before we even interviewed our first time that I'm still waiting on, you know, and that happens. I'm being patient, you know, it's just one of those things. But like the fact that you're just like trying to send it, but you know, but like as fast as seemingly possible, that's remarkable. I think that speaks volumes about your work ethic.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, because I have too. I think there's like some things that I backed on Indiegogo like 4 years ago. They still haven't gotten yet. It's like it's crazy. But I know that a lot of people. Yeah, that's a preview. If people ever want to go see, if want to see a preview of both books, you can click on that, and that'll take you to a preview that has a couple of pages from each book. But I know that this is like a thing now where people are more leaning into this thing where I have the book finished before I even launched the campaign. And believe me, if I could do that every single time, I would, because I don't want people to wait either. It's just, you know, some making a comic is pretty expensive. So
yeah, like I think it's a little easier. I think it's a little easier too, depending on where they're at in their series, what type of series they have, you know, what type of following they have. You know, it's one of those things. It's a little bit easier to do when you have the money as opposed to when you don't.
Yeah, definitely.
So this is awesome. Tell us a little bit more about the main character.
Okay, so she is like I said, she's like a fallen angel who's, so she's got supernatural powers. She's got these tattoos on her body, and they're more than just tattoos, but that's a secret we'll find out later. When she uses her powers, these tattoos glow. That's why on the little mini bust, tattoos has this fluorescent yellow color. Yeah.
Because when and then right here is red.
Yeah, so you see it right there. That's when she uses her powers, her tattoos will glow. So she's got a bunch of tattoos. We haven't seen all of them yet. We've only seen this one. But there's a bunch that's kind of hidden. Mm-hmm. But we'll see later what they're there for. And so it's basically, yeah, it's just, she's like a femme fatale, this anti-hero. It's kind of like if you like Vampirella, Red Sonja, Lady Death, that kind of character. That's basically what she is. But I think there's a little bit more to her, like I was saying before, that she's a conflicted character. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit more to like what's going on with her. And she's not invulnerable. She can die. So what I wanted to do is, like I said, this is serialized. So with each chapter, with, you know, each issue, you're going to find more and more about her and about the world that she's in. So it's like, you know, peeling layers off an onion. Mm-hmm. And there's some mystery to her character. So like in the first issue, we saw that she is a shapeshifter. But there's a little more to that than actually just being a shapeshifter. In issue two, we're going to see why does she carries the four rifles on her back.
Okay.
So with each issue, you're going to find out, you know, another component, another mystery is going to be revealed.
And, I love how she has that undying hatred for humanity. I mean, yeah. People can suck, you know?
Well, that's kind of the general theme of all of the stories in the book. Not everyone, but most of them. It's kind of like exploring the collapse of humanity. Mm-hmm. And basically like what people will do to other people to get ahead in their, you know, their selfishness and their corruption and all this kind of thing. So it's really about the downfall of man. And her story really exemplifies that, because she's kind of like in the not near future, not far future, but, you know, something maybe like 50-100 years from now, that's when her story takes place. So in her story, like at least in America, everything is gone to shit. Mm-hmm. So we're going to see all that. But in the other stories too, you'll see this kind of a theme where we talk about how humanity is just falling apart, and it's kind of like the end of days for at least our modern civilization. Because I'm kind of a cynic, and this is kind of like my outlook on things is I don't think we're headed in a very good direction, and you know, all civilizations end at one point. So
wow, this is like, I love this black and white, and where there's color sprinkled in, it's just so visually striking.
Yeah, thanks. I just did that just because I was looking at it. It was not intended to be this way. When I was doing the lettering, this is Gilliard Goulart. He's the artist on this one. And he puts in so much detail, these crazy details that, like, I was afraid that people would miss some of these things. Like, this is hilarious things, like an eyeball, you know, float being popped out across the page. Little things like that. So I thought, well, maybe if I, and I'm not a professional colorist, I can't really color the whole thing, but maybe if I can just put like little spot colors to highlight, you know, some of these moments and things like that, that maybe that'll work. So in the first page, I tried that. Mm-hmm. And then I think it looks okay. I think it looks all right to, you know, to highlight these things. So I just kept doing it and I tried it. I'm not 100% sure if I'll keep it. So I'm looking for feedback. I mean, you know, you saying that is good. That makes me feel good. It's like, okay, maybe I should keep this.
I mean, are we going to see, we can see venture more into a colorist role at some point in the future?
I don't think so.
Here and there's all right, but I don't know.
Yeah, I can put make bloody guts and stuff like that, but I don't think I could do that. The whole thing, coloring, mm-hmm. is a major art that I don't know if a major skill that I don't know if I'll be able to have time to work on. So leave it to the professionals.
Let's go over some of these rewards, guys. Once again, right here is a link in both chats. Be sure to check this out with us. Most importantly, if you can back, we'd love to see that. It is New Comic Book Day, so make sure you get a new comic book and make it this one today. If not, put this wherever you can. Word of mouth works just as much. So we have the basic digital bundle, Epic of Darkness issue 2 PDF at $5. We have the mega digi bundle at $12. So this is Epic of Darkness issue 2, a JPEG full color, Heaven Sent Not Safe for Work JPEG, and then the making of Epic of Darkness as well. That's awesome.
So what I wanted to do is last time I had like three tracks. Like I had digital, I had physical, and then I had digital physical. Mm-hmm. And I thought, why am I doing this? This is just overcomplicating things. So I simplified it to where there's digital for people that just want digital, and then there is a combo. So people that, you know, generally want physical, but you also get the digital stuff with it as well. So that's why I have the combo and then a digital, and I have a catch up. So for anybody who's missed the first issue, the first campaign, you get pretty much everything from the first campaign, mm-hmm. along with this campaign. And also depends on whatever stretch goals we meet and stuff like that.
I like that. And then the Rainy Road digital bundle as well. So every comic from Rainy Road?
Yeah, so we got the other books, the 6-8, which is the horror comic, the supernatural horror comic, Book of Legend, which is kind of like a sort of all ages, so like Hero's Journey mm-hmm. anthology as well. So that has 9 stories, and it's 52 pages, I think. Neotheric is the graphic novel, 96 pages. It collects the issues 1-4 of Neotheric, and we're trying to do issue 5 this summer. I already have the artist, and this Ashcan will be something that will go in for this campaign as a stretch goal. So we'll hopefully, if this campaign, Epic Darkness 2, is successful, then this will go out to people, you know, so they can see that and get ready for the Neotheric issue 5.
Okay. And then we have the digital and physical combos here. So you get the basic combo at $12, the mega combo bundle at $30, and then the catch-up bundle at $65 with the Rainy Road combo bundle at $120. So awesome prices for the physical as well. And then we have some international stuff too. So always love to see international bundles. That could be a little bit, you know, tricky though with international shipping. I heard there could be some nightmare experiences with that.
Yeah, that's why I never offered international before. It's just really, you could, you know, get your ass handed to you if you're not thinking about that. But I looked into it. I use a pirate ship. They have like this special thing that you can, special discount you can get if you ship international. So I looked mm-hmm. into it. If all of this stuff's sent, I think the most shipping would be around like $30. So
wow. That's I sent a shirt to the Netherlands and it cost $30 and it was a shirt.
Wow. Yeah, this is a special thing on pirate ship. I don't know if you heard of pirate ship, mm-hmm. but they're a service and they got some, I can't remember what it's called, but it's like a special thing that you have to actually contact them and say, hey, I need you to unlock this in my account. So when I send things overseas, it becomes available. And so I did that and they unlocked it, and then so I can use this. So if anybody is overseas and wants to get physical stuff, I made these bundles up. So you can't do an add-on, because if I do like basically you can't get the mm-hmm. the little mini bus, because that would add a huge amount to the shipping. So I'm just, you know, it's all set up so I know I can figure out exactly what the shipping will be. And so everything, all of these are prices that you see on the different bundles includes shipping. There is no additional money for shipping. Like if you click something and say, okay, back this, that's the price you're going to pay. There's no extra thing for shipping on anything.
Wow. Wow. That's impressive. I mean, do you take like a hit with that or anything? I mean, I don't hear many campaigns doing that.
Well, for the lower campaigns, it will... I'll basically be like breaking even mm-hmm. with the shipping. So that's why I try to encourage people to go to the slightly higher campaign reward bundles, and that can offset it. I'm not trying to make any money from shipping. I just want to, you know, get the books and ship it out exactly what it costs, at least if I can cover my costs with shipping. I back other people's campaigns too. You know, I like to, you know, support other creators, but sometimes when I go to, you know, people's page and they've got like $20 to ship a regular comic book, I was like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah,
I
mean, sometimes
obviously
it
doesn't
hard.
Cost that much. It's like you're trying to make money off the shipping, and I don't like that. Mm-hmm. And so I don't do that. I'm just trying to, you know, I'm not trying to nickel and dime people off of things like this. And all of the books come shipped in Mylar bags. I also ship everything in a Mylar bag. Mm-hmm. So not just a regular comic bag. It's a, you know, the thicker Mylar bag to help protect it and keep it, you know, supporting everything. It's wrapped in bubble wrap. I put it in a Gemini mailer. Then I put all of that inside of the, whatever, that plastic bag, you know, to protect it and all that. So I take it, you know, very seriously. Just try to show people that, you know, I take this all very seriously and I want them to get their book. I don't want any issues with, like, I just got one last week. They left it out on our porch and it got completely soaked.
Oh, yeah.
The person who sent it didn't really protect it. It was in a Gemini mailer, but on the inside didn't really protect it. So there's water all inside of it. So, I don't want that to happen.
And then real quick, we have Trimuth over on Twitch stopping in to say, what's up, Cody? Welcome to the stream. Thank you for joining us. Appreciate everyone stopping in today. These mini busts are awesome. So fluorescent paint used for glow effect under a UV light, so you get to see the chest tattoo and the eyes glow up. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I just thought it would be, somebody suggested that to me, so I thought it'd be a cool thing to try. And again, this is going to be a unique thing. In the beginning, I'm only going to limit it to 10 as far mm-hmm. as the painted ones. So I don't know how many more I can paint than that. But if there is like a demand for it, you know, I could probably do a couple more. But so some this awesome is just add-ons. A checklist is just to show everything that it's available. So you can see like a bigger picture of it, a closer image and everything, a little better description. That shows everything that's available, all the older books. Oh, if you scroll back up a little bit, just to point this out, that one right there, I had some print damage copies of the first mm-hmm. issue. The printer kind of, they're not like torn up or anything. It's just like some, you know, imperfections.
Yeah.
And so I'm offering on this campaign for just $3, and normally it's $12. So, I think that's a pretty good deal. If
yeah,
anyone
yeah.
wants like a reader copy, you know, or one you want to share or whatever.
Leave like lay on the coffee table, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, not have to yeah. worry about it.
Now, some awesome add-ons here as well. So, Michael, after going through this Kickstarter in its entirety, you know, for anyone that might be on the fence about backing, what would you like to say to them directly if you just had a few moments to kind of address that?
Well, first I would say I'd definitely need your help. Anyone who's thinking about it, I'm just a small-time creator trying to, you know, keep going with this. This is my fifth book. I've self-funded all of these books. You don't have to worry about not getting the book. It's done. It's complete. It's ready to be printed. So I definitely need your help. If it's something that you really want to support indie creators, I'm an indie creator and I really need your support. So, and I have an idea of keeping this going for a while. You know, it's not just like a one-shot book. It's an epic tale. So, mm-hmm. you know, we want to keep this rolling. And issue 3 is going to be pretty crazy. So you want to, you know, see 1 and 2 before we get to 3.
Absolutely. So what's next for you in 2023? I know we were talking about an issue 5 coming soon.
Yeah, so that's one after Epic of Darkness 2. I want to do the Neotheric number 5. This is an ash can that, you know, if we hit the stretch goal there, everybody will get this. And it's got, they already did, I got new artists for the series. They've already done these 4 pages. Did like this, the colorist did this pinup by herself.
Wow, that's gorgeous. Here, let me.
It looks much better in color.
I'm gonna zoom you in.
She
real
did
quick.
It in color.
A lot of detail there. Yeah, that's gorgeous.
But yeah, it looks pretty amazing in color. This is just, you know, because I printed it out in black and white. But of course, the actual book will be in color. Mm-hmm. So we have that, and then of course is Epic of Darkness 3, which we may be able to do towards the end of the year. So, but you know, it all depends on how this campaign does and how we, you know, if we can get things rolling moving forward. I'm not a wealthy dude. You know, I've been unemployed for almost 3 years. My wife is the one who is supporting the family now. So,
you know, my old lady's in the room. Fun. She's like, here, here.
Yeah, it's coming to the point where it's like, I need to be able to at least break even on these things to keep going with it. And I think, you know, I put a lot of effort and work into making these books as good as they can be. I try to find like the best artists that I can afford, but that are top quality. Like I was saying before, this is art you would find in Marvel or DC, maybe even better in some cases. So, I just really appreciate if people take a look at it and think about supporting it. And I try to offer a cheap reward tier for people that, you know, don't have a lot of money to spread around, like myself, but want to support things. And then I also offer, you know, a higher tier for people who want to get all this, you know, extra stuff. And I try to offer like very unique things that, you know, make it kind of a special campaign.
No, that's awesome. So, I mean, Michael, I think I've thought of one hell of a question to ask. You know, you've been on the show before. You know, we always love asking one piece of advice for anyone who might be new and listening. So for anyone who's maybe had a issue with a previous Kickstarter and they're kind of just not motivated and they're kind of just wondering if they should try it again, what advice would you offer them as someone who's had one that, you know, didn't exactly hit the mark and then had a successful one right afterwards? You know, what would you offer them to kind of help them get motivated to try again?
Well, I've had more than one fail. So this is going back to like Indiegogo, several that failed there. I think one of the main things that I've learned or that seems to work for me is like to get more people to know about your campaign and promote your campaign. I think the best way is not only doing shows like this and, you know, obviously reaching out to people, but is trying to do promo swaps with other people that are running campaigns at the same time, because that way you're directly reaching people who are spending money on comics or whatever. So this is something I didn't think about in the first few campaigns I did, but when I did the Epic of Darkness #1, I focused on that, was, you know, trying to contact other creators that have other active campaigns and saying, hey, can you share my campaign with your followers, and I'll share your campaign with my followers. And that seemed to work really well, better than, like, I don't think I've gotten anything from Facebook or from Instagram or from Twitter. I don't know why.
Social media can be rough.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have the ability to be like online or on, you know, all these different platforms all the time because all the different things I got to do. So maybe that's one reason is, you know, because I'm not constantly always out there. But I have tried, you know, like things on Facebook, different groups and things like that. And as far as I can tell, it didn't really help hardly at all. Doing the promo swaps, I think, helped the most, for sure.
Some awesome advice there. So, Michael, before we let you go, you know, what have you been consuming lately outside of creating, you know, comic books, TV shows, movies? You know, if you play any games, what games?
Well, I got my kids FIFA.
Okay.
So playing FIFA on Xbox because they got into soccer. They started soccer this year, so I thought it might be good for them to kind of, you know, playing a game kind of familiarizes you with the actual game.
Yeah, yeah.
So we've been playing FIFA. I'm reading, what is it? Joe Abercrombie, The Blade itself, it's a novel, fiction novel, fantasy. Mm-hmm. I'm not so sure about it. And I got, for anybody who was into, remember this cartoon, Dungeons and Dragons?
Okay, yeah.
From the 80s.
That's awesome.
IDW just don't, because they had the movie came out like last month,
mm-hmm.
but it's not with the cartoon kids. It's like D&D role playing, you know, the traditional thing that everybody knows. But the kids from the cartoon make like a cameo appearance in the movie. And so, I don't know, I always really liked that cartoon. It's one of my favorite cartoons, even though I wasn't into D&D. I really like that cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
And then for some reason they're coming out with I think it's a 3-issue miniseries, IDW.
Oh, that's cool.
So I just thought it's kind of cool for anybody who's maybe was into the cartoon, and maybe, which I think the second issue is supposed to come out soon.
That's funny you mentioned that about the video game. I remember years ago when my mom was taking me driving for one of the very first times. We're talking like I'm like, you know, both feet, like 1 foot on the gas, 1 foot on the brake. I'm like 15 or 16. And she's like, you got to treat it like a video game, like GTA. And I'm like, Mom, that's probably the worst example you can give me. But guys, with that said, it is time for us to wrap up. Right here is the link. Be sure to check it out. It's New Comic Book Day. Make sure you treat yourself and buy this book today. Once again, if you can't, just put it wherever you can. Word of mouth is 100% free. It's time for us to wrap up, though. So have a awesome Wednesday. But most importantly, keep it geekly.